lives, Father God. So we lift those up to you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you were mindful and that you had the answer, Lord Jesus, before we knew we had the need. Lord God, we're so thankful for that. Lord, we want to lift up Sister Moselle this morning, Lord God, and the need that she had, Father. Lord, a part of this church for so many years and a help. I just pray, Lord God, at this time in her life, Lord Jesus, you'll be merciful to her. Lord God, touch her body, Lord Jesus. Lord God, for our pastor, Lord God, over in Germany this morning, Father God, or whatever time it may be, Lord, as he begins to study and prepares to step behind the pulpit, Lord God, may you, Lord God, give him an anointing, Lord Jesus. An anointing to untie the knots, Lord God, whatever they may be of false doctrines or the things that would hold the people, Father. Whatever chains have those people bound, may you give him an anointing to come in and be a chain breaker, Lord God, and speak the word and follow it up, Lord Jesus, as we know you will, Father. Lord, I pray for Brother Timothy this morning, Lord, wherever he's at speaking, I just pray that you'll just be with him and bring him home safely to us, Father. And Lord, as we turn our attention to this service right here, Lord, we have need of you, Lord. Lord God, if you don't come by, it's just a gathering of people, Lord God, and we've wasted our time, Father. But we know that you're going to come by. We know that you're here, for you promised that you would be here. You promised that where two or more gathered in your name, there you would be. So, Father God, we look to this service with an anticipation, knowing that it is an opportunity, Lord God, to be in your presence. It's an opportunity to hear from heaven, Father. And we come with that expectation, expecting that, Father. May we not take it for granted, Lord, as we know as that time draws near, we only have so many opportunities left here on this earth, Father. Lord God, so with all my heart, I want to see you this morning. With all my heart, I want to enter in and give you everything I have. Lord, for you've given me everything you have, and I want to reciprocate that back to you and give my all this morning. In every song, may I sing with all my heart. As the word comes forth, Lord, may I pull on that gift that you, Lord God, would speak a word of life to me, Father. Lord, we give you this service. Ask you to have your way from now until it's dismissed, Father. In everything, Lord Jesus, may your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir. I can almost hear. Amen. You want to join in with those voices this morning? Oh, I pledge allegiance to you. With all my strength, with all I am, I will sing you on the beat. Oh, I pledge allegiance to you. And I pledge allegiance. Amen. The brethren will take up the offering. With all my strength, with all I am, I will sing to honor His name. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come, oh, to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life. The trumpet sounds on the final day. Oh, let us proudly pledge allegiance, and I pray. Jesus is the name of the Lord.
I'm going to sing this song, "Because of Who You Are, I Give You Glory." Amen. Because of Who You Are, I Give You Praise. My sister Jessica Adams to bring her song. Amen. Oh, because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh, I worship you. Amen. Let's just lift our hands and worship Him this morning. Because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, give praise. Oh, because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh, I worship you because of who you are. Oh, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi, Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah, amen, my Prince of Peace, my Prince of Peace, and I worship. I worship you because, just sing it one more time, He's my provider and Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah BC, our victory, Lord, you reign.
Can you hear the voice of the Father inviting you to walk on the water? Risk it all, answer the call, and enter in. Now we stand on every promise. We're not afraid. Our faith goes before us. When we believe, we're gonna see the supernatural. We're gonna see what we're praying for. We believe every single word, stronger than we've ever been, standing on His promise. We're gonna see the impossible. We release the supernatural, stronger than we've ever.
Don't you love the Lord? And every promise of His. Amen. 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 May the Lord quench this thirsting. Lord, I am ready. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. You are the only one who can fill me. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. Come quench this thirsty. Lord, I am ready. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. You are the only one who can fill me. Here I am waiting. Come fill my heart. Fill this void. Fill this void and emptiness. Shine your light on my darkness. I long for you, make me whole, come quench this thirsty, Lord, I am ready, here I am waiting. Oh yes, come fill my heart, oh, and you are the only one who can fill me, here I am. I need you more. I need you more. Lord, I confess. I need more of you and nothing less. Oh, and come quench this thirsting. Lord, I am ready. Here I am waiting. Oh, come fill my heart. Yes, and you are the only one. Here I am waiting. Oh, sing it again. Come quench this thirsty. Come quench this thirsty. Oh, here I am. Oh, come fill my heart. You are the only. Here I am. time here on this earth. Oh, take my amen. Here on this earth, may it glorify all that you are worth. For I am nothing. Amen. Let's just stand together with me. All my soul needs. Oh, and all my soul. Body and take my body, Lord, fill it up. May it be broken as an offering of love. For I am nothing, oh, I am nothing without. Amen. And all my soul needs. Yes, and all my soul, oh, is all your love to cover me, so all the world, oh, will see that I am nothing without you. Amen. Sing it again with all your heart. And all my soul, oh, it's all your love to cover me, so all the world, yes, will see that I am nothing without. Amen. Sing it one more time. All my soul. Yes, all my soul, all your love, cover me. Oh, we'll see.
Amen. All the world needs. It's all we need. Amen. Let's just bow for prayer. Father, Lord, we bow our heads and our hearts to you this morning, Lord. I want to give you thanks for yet another opportunity to be in your presence. Lord, we have sung the songs of Zion, songs of adoration, and we lift up our praise to you. But Father, the service would not be complete unless you would come right now, Father, and take this word, Lord, and break the bread of life unto your people, Father, and give them substance, Father, they can go forth into this next week, Lord, knowing that you're God, you're mindful, you care, you're concerned about their well-being. Father, we can sing the songs and be happy and rejoice in our spirits, Lord, be lifted up. But Father, we want our faith grounded in the absolute promise of your word this morning. And we believe, as our sister sang, Lord, we can see the miraculous. We can see the impossible because you've given a people in this day eyes to see you, Father. And we're just asking today, Father, you come by our way once again, Lord. Open our eyes to see, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Father, give us hearts that can receive this morning. As we yield our members to you, Father, my voice, Lord, may it not be the voice of a man, but may it be the supernatural coming by this way, Lord, and taking possession, oh God, and speaking to your people, Father, and anoint their ears to hear, Lord. not as humans, but Lord, as Lord, to be able to receive the spiritual significance of the word this morning. We invite you, God. We're calling upon you, Lord. It's out of our human ability to, this morning. So we pray, Father, you'd come by and just move in our midst. So we commit this service to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you give me a little bit of volume here, Brother Tim. We'll look here in John 14. We're going to pick back up where we had spoke on the last time that you shall see him. We just kind of take it a little bit further, drive that point down just a little bit more this morning. And we have several pages of notes here, but we're just going to pray for the leadership of the Spirit. And just not try to hold you too long, but we definitely want to give the Lord the preeminence and allow him to have his due here this morning. John 14, we'll look here in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live, you live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You can be seated this morning. I might have to ask you to give me a little bit more fire up here if you don't mind. You love the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, we appreciate all the brothers that worked at the church yesterday. I couldn't be there. I had to actually go to the hospital and work and put a long day in. But we were in prayer with you that we get a lot accomplished. But this morning, we want to turn our attention away from the busy schedules that we have, our work weeks, and what's going on at the new church, and just take our time this morning and put our attention to the Word. And we just ask God to help us to see who He is, what form He's in, to reveal Himself to us in a greater way. Would that be your prayer this morning? God, just show me yourself in a greater way. Let me see you as though I've never seen you before. You know, I posted last night on Facebook asking some of the young people maybe some of the things that they've been struggling with. And some, you know, not to give any names, but some may have mentioned things of, you know, just going through the motions, being, you know, the motions of being a Christian. But you know what? I think there's an atmosphere that's created in this church, in this building, by you people, by us, service after service, that is, there can be more than just an emotion. There can be more than just going through feelings and emotions and thinking you got the Holy Ghost, thinking you don't, you know, back and forth, a tug of war going on with your spirit. I think God today will let you know, if you come with a sincere heart, God will anchor that in your heart and let you see who He really is. And by seeing who He really is, then you see who you really are. And when you see who you really are, then there's no devil in hell that can stand before you. But the last time we ministered, we found out how God has always hid Himself from the wise and the prudent. But He always, always, always reveals Himself, the Bible says, to babes such that will learn. So He reveals Himself to those that will humble themselves enough to receive the Word. See, God down through all the ages, He's hid Himself in the veil of humanity. When He came in the days of Moses, that was God in Moses. Veiled behind humanity. When He came to the judges, that was God in those judges. Veiled behind humanity. When He came in Malachi, that was God on the scene. Veiled in His humanity. And we find when Jesus Christ came on the scene, it was once again God Himself, the fullness of the Godhead, veiled Himself once again in humanity. So God has always hid Himself from the wise and the prudent. And He reveals Himself through His humanity so that those elected, predestinated, would receive it. Amen. And we find here that by the scripture reading, the Bible says that the world will see Him no more. That word world there means cosmos, world order, the ungodly multitude, the mass, the whole mass of men alienated from God. They won't see God. They don't have a desire to see God. They can't see God. They can't retain God's word in their heart. But the Bible says, but ye shall see Him. There's going to be a people that has a longing in their heart to see God. to hear from God, to experience God, to be more than just going through the motions, to be up and down, but to be steadfast and true with God. There's going to be a people that God is going to open their eyes and they're going to see Him for who He is. So there's going to be God. God's going to reveal Himself to a people. But you got to recognize, we got to recognize the form that He's in. That word "see" it there, the Scripture says that you shall see Me. And the word "see" there means to enjoy the presence of one. To view attentively. One who looks at a thing with interest and for a purpose. But the world doesn't look to this God the way you look at Him. They don't look at Him in His presence with an attention to detail, to see who He is. They don't look to this God the way that we do. They're not interested in Him the way that we're interested in Him. See, they're more focused on themselves. They're more concerned about the desires of their flesh than even 2 Timothy in verse 3 says, or 2 Timothy 3 verse 4 says, there be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. That's the world. They don't want this God. But there's going to be a people, and I'm telling you this morning, we are the people that enjoy the presence of God. We are the people that look for Him to appear. We are the people that give strict detail. Every bit of our life is dedicated to this God, because I want to see Him. Amen. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, henceforth there is laid up for Me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to Me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. There's an appearing of God, and there's also a coming of God. I want you to recognize this morning, those are two distinct different words. They have two completely different meanings. Brother Bam says, now the appearing of the Lord is now. When He's appearing in His people, watch where He's at. He didn't say He's appearing in His prophet, though He was there, but He's appearing in His people. His Spirit working among them, proving that He's with them, getting them ready for the rapture. So the appearing of the Lord is what prepares a people for the rapture. And the coming of the Lord is what comes when He comes and takes away those that were been prepared by His appearing. Is this all right this morning? Amen. So the appearing of the Lord is now. His appearing amongst His people. We see Him in His same works. The appearing, His Holy Spirit. But His coming will be in a physical being. It'll be to catch away the church. So the appearing of Christ is altogether different than the coming of Christ. He appears before He comes. Is that right? And we must see Him when He appears, or you're going to miss Him when He comes. Let me say that again. You got to see Him when He appears. Listen to me, young person. This is more than just mama's and daddy's religion. You got to see this God. You got to have that experience. You got to know in which form He's in. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you've seen Him and He's recognized you and He's filled you with the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't see Him in His appearing, you're going to miss Him when He's coming. There has to be something to happen that can turn our hearts back and help us see who this God really is. Therefore, God sends a messenger of the end time according to His Scriptures in Malachi 4. Behold, I send unto you a prophet. Behold, I send unto you Elijah, and he shall turn your hearts back to the faith of the Father so that you can take your eyes off the world system and put your eyes on His appearing. See, the same one that came down on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost that's manifested today. From glory unto glory to glory. And it's back in its original seat with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the same signs. I want you to recognize this is your day. This same Holy Ghost working today with the same signs. The same wonders. The same baptism. Same kind of people acting the same way with the same power. And the same sensation is from glory unto glory. And the next will be changed from this glory into a body like His own glorious body. So many times I feel that We put a lot in it. You know, we put more focus on the man William Branham than we put on our own lives. Now, don't take me wrong. We had to have that messenger. But the whole purpose and the whole plan of God, as we're going to find today, wasn't about one man. The whole purpose and the whole plan and the whole orchestration of this word and His coming was all about a people. But you got to recognize His appearing. 2 Timothy 1, or chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "Be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me His prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ, whom hath abolished death and hath brought life and mortality to light through the gospel." Notice the appearing of God abolishes death. It destroys the stronghold that the enemy had on your life. His appearing, when He comes, is a supernatural coming. And when you ever get in His presence, something's going to change. You'll be either greater than you were when you came in, or you'll be worse off when you leave. But I'm here to tell you, He abolishes death. He abolishes strongholds. He abolishes sins off your life, that you can see Him for who He is. And He's the giver of life this morning. And He's here this morning to give us, each of us, life. Not just life, breath in our lungs, but to give unto us eternal life. That you know, that you know, that you know, you see Him. So there's never been an age through all the ages that's ever produced what this age has been producing. For now, listen, the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Why has there never been an age? Because there's never been an age where the full word has been restored. There's never been an age where He has stepped out and come on the scene and displayed Himself in His splendor and allow you as humans to see Him for who He is. We find Luther had a portion, just a portion. He was revealing just a portion of this great manifestation. Wesley, another portion of this great manifestation. The Pentecost, another portion of the great manifestation. But to us in this age, it's more than just a portion. The fullness, the full word has been restored to us in this hour. That's why we can pray for the sick and expect God to move. That's why you can come to the house of God on a Wednesday night and hear a report about Japan and the altars be full. Because why? He's appearing among us. He's the same yesterday, today, and He'll be the same for you tomorrow, church. But you got to long and love for His appearing. God, show me Yourself. God, reveal Yourself to me. Open my eyes that I can see who You are. Brother Bram says, "Now we have already seen and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord." Now remember, appearing and coming is two different words, to appear and then to come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days, right here with us in the last few years. Now it's the sign of His coming. His appearing, or He's appearing in His church, notice, in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's Him. Cause people, He says, because people cannot do the things that you see them doing, unless the Holy Spirit is doing it. So that's the appearing of the Lord. So the Lord is now appearing among His people. Great signs and wonders, raising the dead, healing the sick, doing the very same things that He did that hasn't been done for 2,000 years. He's doing it in His people. Not a one-man ministry, but a worldwide body. Now don't think that I'm saying that we don't need a prophet. Because we have a message from that prophet. That message is what's changed our hearts. That message is what's turned us. That message is what opened up our eyes that we can see who He is. But the message wasn't about a prophet. The message was about a bride. Getting herself ready. Making preparation that she can catch away in His coming. That's why He says here, "A little while, the world will see me no more, but you shall see me." you're going to see me. I'm going to anoint your heart. I'm going to anoint your eyes. I'm going to anoint your faith. I'm going to anoint your ears that you can hear what the Spirit of God is saying in this age. And there's a large number of people that will never see His appearing. They will never see Him in the form of this word. But Matthew 13 and verse 16 says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them." We are a blessed people today. I don't know why you come to church and you're all in the mullet groves. You're a blessed people. Blessed are your eyes, for they see Him. And your ears, for they hear Him. It ain't something that's going over your head. It ain't something that you're not catching, but your eyes are catching. Your eyes are in tune with the Spirit of God, and your heart is receiving what the Word of God is saying. We're a blessed people in this day. When there's multitudes and multitudes that can't hear it, can't receive it, can't understand it, but yet you have the understanding, yet you have the revelation, yet God has spoken to you, and He showed you by His Word that you are part of His family. Hallelujah this morning, church. Somebody's going to see Him. I say, God, open my eyes and let me see you this morning. Let me experience you this morning. Let me feel the pull of God this morning. We are blessed to not be in the bondage of denominational traditions. We are blessed this morning to not have some great big church overseeing us or some corporation or some foundation. No, but the sovereign Spirit of God moves in this church. I didn't go out to sermons.com this morning to get this message. I didn't get it passed down to some hierarchy. Says, you got to preach this morning. You may find that in the Baptist church or in the Methodist church or some other denominational church. But in this church, we're not bound by traditions of man and doctrines and dogmas. No, but the Spirit of God is wanting to reveal Himself to us in a special way. He wants to show you that He's beyond traditions. He wants to show you this morning that He's a supernatural God. And He's ready, if you're ready, to show miracles. He's ready this morning, if you're ready, to provide deliverance. He's ready this morning to fill with the Holy Ghost. He's ready this morning to heal the sick. He's ready this morning to save the lost. Look, when you see those things, you're seeing Him. When you see the sick healed, that's God showing Himself the same yesterday, today, and forever, and physically manifested in front of your eyes. When you see the lost come and weep their way to Calvary, that ain't the work of a man. That's God displaying Himself that I'm still a Savior. That's why I came. That's why I'm here, to draw men unto myself that I can take them away in the rapture of the bride. See, if the churches would only recognize that the Word of God that's made this promise for this hour, they wouldn't perish. But we find the churches hold to their doctrines. Well, my church preaches this, and my church believes this, and they won't open their ears, and they won't open their eyes to see anything different. You heard, many times you probably heard on tape, well, if I preach that, I'll get kicked out of my organization. They're more worried and fearful about being kicked out of an organization than being right in the Spirit of God. Right where the will of God is for their life. In this country that we live in, America, if it would only recognize the Constitution, that when they wrote the Constitution, they put God in every aspect of the Constitution. And now you find laws being passed. They're taking God out of this and taking God out of that. And they remove God out of our schools. Now you as young people that go to school, you don't ever hear about God in schools any longer. But they can bring this faith in and this belief in and that belief in and that belief in. See, God, they're taking God out. They hadn't recognized the presence of God. But there is a people that recognizes His presence. See, God knows that He's got to have prophets. God knows He's got to have those men that will speak the Word. God knows He's got to have ministers, even in this hour, that will stand behind a sacred desk. Deny their own fleshly desires to maybe go do something different and spend days and days in studying in preparation for one sermon so that you people can be blessed. So that you can receive a word from Him. God knows He takes that and what does He do? He hews out a bride from the revelation of the Word. See, Moses, think about Moses. Moses was reared up in Pharaoh's palace. Is that right? Moses was reared up in Pharaoh's palace. He was taught the best education. He was skilled into be a military leader, being prepared to take over a country. And yet deep down inside, Moses knew that he had a greater calling. And many of you here today, you may have been reared this way and that way and leaning this way and being taught this way. But deep down inside, there's a greater calling. You recognize there's something more that you're supposed to do in life than just go through the motions or just be wishy-washy and have the Holy Ghost 1 minute and not have it the next minute. There's something inside of you that recognizes. And let me tell you, Moses responded to the call. Oh, Moses tried to do it on his own and he killed one Hebrew or one Egyptian. Had to leave the country. And anytime we try to do it ourselves, all it's going to bring is failure. So we find that he gets on the backside of a desert for another 40 years so everything's washed out of him. And he learns to do what? To lead sheep. Here he was destined to lead a nation. To lead great men, warriors in battle. And you find him 40 years on the backside of a desert leading sheep. Bah. Enough of that will drive you crazy. But the scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. They would follow Moses no matter where he went. But see, Moses had to recognize that everything his mama told him up until the age of 5, he was destined to do that. Though Pharaoh and Satan had tried to wash it out, try to get it out of them, try to train them this way and that way. And you see the world system that we live in today is trying to do everything it can to shut down Christianity. But there's somebody who's going to recognize, I'm destined for something greater. We find here that here he was, he realized that when what he was about to do. And by the promised word, look, when he saw there, he saw the pillar of fire come down into a bush and begin to speak out of and thunder out, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. It ain't like some other ground. This place has been sovereign. It's been put aside and placed there. Moses, I come down to speak to you. I come to show you that the God of your fathers, I am He. I am here and I'm ready to deliver my people. And that same God, church, He's here today in the presence of His pillar of fire to do exactly the same, to declare to you that there's a greater life. You're destined for greatness, church. You're not to be a part of this world, but God has called you. He's hewed you from the Word, by the Word, for the Word, to do what? To go to the catching away of the bride to a wedding supper. And we find that inside that burning bush, when it began to resonate the voice of God, it had what Moses lacked. For the first time, Moses could put his eyes on God and say, there He is. You may not see that same pillar of fire, but you can feel the same presence of God. Service after service after service. And you see young men come up weeping, crying on the altar, wanting deliverance. God speaking. Because they want to see Him. I mean, it was for crying out loud. It was just a report on Japan. But yet, the supernatural God comes down and says, it's more than a report. I'm going to make myself known to a people. I'm going to fulfill my word. It says, I'm going to have a kindred. I'm going to have a people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, people, and nation. I'll go to Japan. I'll go to Cambodia. I'll go to Laos. I'll go to the othermost parts of the world. I'm going to have a bride. They're going to see me. It may not be the pillar of fire, but they'll see me in salvation. They'll see me in healing. They'll see me in deliverance. They'll see me in the power of God. They'll see me in the anointing of the word. And they'll experience a living God. Perform the same signs and the same wonders, the same God today as He was yesterday. That's that God. And He's ready this morning to reveal Himself to a people. Seeing the promised word vindicated, it made Moses ready to go down with a simple stick in his hand. Seeing the word, he heard about it all his life. But now he heard from Him. Mama may have told you who you were. Daddy may have told you who you were. But when He finally speaks to you, whatever you got in your hand, march on down. Where are you going, Moses? Going down to Egypt. What army? Me and my stick. Me and my stick. We can preach a whole sermon on me and a stick. He goes down there, a stuttering prophet. My people. Go! But God responded. Well, I thought you got to be educated. God don't need your education. I thought you got to be so-and-so, a doctor, PhD, and LLD. God don't need your degree. God needs your stammering lips. God needs your body. God needs your hands. God needs your mouth. God needs you to see who He is and what He's called you for. And it's for greatness, church. God is calling the people in this hour for greatness. He may not give you the charge to go take over Egypt. Maybe He's just giving you the charge to go straighten up your home. Maybe He's giving you the charge to be a real testimony in school. When you see that promised word vindicated, you don't care what Pharaoh says. You don't care what the laws they lay down. You're not looking at those things. When you see the promised word vindicated, it prepares you for an exodus. I hope you're preparing for an exodus. I hope you're not planning on staying here. I hope there's the people I'm speaking to this morning that's making preparations to leave. See, Moses, man, you may have thought, well, you know, this don't make sense. I'm going to go down. You know how some of us do. We try to rationalize. God, me, I mean, really, I'm only 5'6". I'm going to go do what? Though I can't even talk. You know, we want to interject our humanity and make excuses because of who we are. God don't need your excuses. No, God can take Gideon and 300 men to go down there and whoop an army. What can He do with this church? Come on. I said, what can He do with this church? Under the full word restored, under the power of God, under the anointing of the Spirit. What can He do with a young person on fire for God? He'll do more for a church than 40 revival. That's God's word. And when you see this promised word vindicated in this day, look, you're not worried about what this one says or what this one's going to think about you. I don't care what the naysayers say. It's me and God. I've seen God. I've heard the call. I'm ready to go, Lord. Summon me up and let me buckle up and go. See, when you recognize the vindicated word, you're not going to fear what your neighbors tell you. Like Brother George going to Japan, having these doors shut in his face. Oh, but he recognized it was not him, it was God. Sending him over there. Knock on every door. Slam. Shut up, didn't want to hear it. But it wasn't for Noah not. The last day, God baptizes two. One male, one female. God's showing He's going to have one of each. God's showing He's going to have a people. God's showing that the work that was done over there, all the efforts, all the labor, all everything that was done, being away from family, was not in vain. But see, when you recognize this word, that it's the vindicated word, you're not going to fear to tell your friends at school about it. Why you have long hair. You should be able to take them right to the word. Why do you dress in skirts and flowing gowns and blouses? Take them right to the word. So you might not understand why even God has you here this morning. You may be a stranger off the street. You might not even recognize why you're here today or the current situation that you find yourself in. But I want you to know this morning, you are here because God knows who you are. God knows your name. God knows every detail of your life. God knows everything that you've been going through. God knows how unhappy you've been. God knows it all. And so God brought you to church this morning. God brought you to the house of God that you could hear His voice radiate into your heart. And let me tell you, if there's the slightest tug of God there, I'd respond to the pull of God. See, God knows you, church. He knows about your life. He knows how unhappy you are. But what God wants is for you to know Him. God wants you to see Him in the beauty of His Word. God wants you to see Him that He's still the same God. He still packs power. He still has the authority over the enemy. That's the God we serve. He wants you to know Him. And He's here this morning to reveal Himself to you in a supernatural way. Well, Brother Joe, I've been going to this church for 40 years. And you ain't never made a move. I've been believing this message for as long as I can remember. And yet you still sit cold and formal. Come on, church. You find some people who are scared to move. And I'm not saying we all got to be emotional. That's not it. But you should be able to see God and respond. I guarantee if you slammed your thumb with a hammer, you'd respond. Do it one time. Try it when you get home. You can send me a Facebook message. Let me know how it went. Big old thumb, purple, pulsating. Brother Joe, I didn't scream. Huh, liar. Man, you scream and do a little dance. You know how it is. Oh, holding your thumb, screaming, crying out. You're going to have to call the paramedics. What's wrong, honey? I hit my thumb. But we come to the house of God. And I'm not, listen, church, I'm not scolding you. I understand we're all made different. But when the power of God drops down into a service, and we sit there, and if we don't have no recollection that He's even here, shame on you for not recognizing His presence. Well, I'm worried about what somebody else says. If the promised word ever is vindicated to you, you don't care what anybody else says. You can jump up out of your seat with a baby in your arm and run around the church because you don't care. Try it sometime. Borrow somebody's baby. It's okay. Just make sure they're okay with it. You better make sure it's under the Holy Spirit anointing too. You drop their baby on the floor, boy, they'd come after you. But I mean, we got to learn to let ourselves go in the presence of God. I remember when I was preaching one time, Brother Mike Price, I ain't never done this since. I was done preaching. I can't even tell you what I preached on. I'm sitting there and this young girl come up. She's, I guess, a Pentecostal girl who was coming to her church back and forth. She started singing a song, stand up in Jesus' name. My, I tell you what, it hit me. I took off across that place and I ran around that church, jumped over, a speaker came back, kept on preaching. I ain't never done it since. Now, I'd like to time and again. There's been a couple times in this church I wanted to take off running. But sometimes we hold ourselves and we constrict ourselves. And God is saying, just let go. Don't care what nobody else thinks. Let's let the power of God have its way in our hearts, in our services. I tell you what, it'll make for a greater service. You wouldn't sit there ready to get up and leave. You wouldn't be worried about your stomach growling and hungry and different things of that nature. And I preach it to myself. No, you enter in, you let go and let the Spirit of God move. You'll see that your experience with God and your relationship with God will multiply. You will grow leaps and bounds. We find in the message, recognizing your day in this message, Brother Bram says, everywhere now, it says, there's a revival. He says, excuse me, there's no revival. So everybody's complaining. Ministers are crying, but they can hardly print anything unless it's about fast, pray, sound the trumpet. How many reasons? He says, you see it all the time. Fast, pray. It's all you hear. Fast, pray. We're going to have a great break in one day. He says, there's a great thing going to take place. It's going to happen. All of you, pray. We're not too late yet. He says, what do they do that for? Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing that there will be an awakening. They're good people. Why is that? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. Oh, we come to church. Oh, I want to move with the Spirit. And then we sit down on God. You hadn't recognized the awakening of the bride. He's here. Service after service. Time after time. Moving upon lives. And moving upon young people. And moving upon souls. And yet we sit there many times. Just waiting. Maybe He'll come by my way. How about we just get in His way once? He's moving down the aisles. And we just stuck to our seat. He says, being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour, but they haven't recognized what's been done. That's what's making them feel that way. They don't know something is supposed to happen. But see, they're looking for a way off in the future to come when it's already happening right now. The appearing of the Lord is here. It's now. And they're praying. Fast, pray. And He's right here in our midst. Service after service after service. He shows up at Evening Light Tabernacle. See, but it can't be Brother Tim's idea. It can't be mine or Brother Timothy's. It has to be a personal, individual experience that you have with this God. I can tell you young people that you're destined for greatness, and you go home and you're still looking at pornography. And yet you're destined for greatness. And you won't step in the stream of the Spirit of God flowing to get the deliverance you need. Yet you want it, you want it, you feel, oh, fast pray, I'm going to do it. This is going to be my service, it's going to be my night, this is going to be when it happens. And we don't get in the way of the Spirit to where He can really move on our hearts. Oh, we go through the emotions. But are we really ready to die out? Are we really ready to have a real born-again experience? Are we really ready to settle the question once and for all? And that goes to some of you mamas and daddies. It ain't just on the kids. See, it's a personal, individual affair with that person that Christ is revealed to them. I got a mom and dad out in the world. But Christ has been individually, He's revealed Himself to me. So my faith is not based on where they are in their walk. And nor can yours be. It has to be based on Him personally revealing Himself to you. Prophet of God says, this Laodicean age is supposed to receive a message. Malachi 4 said that he would, that they'd be looking for our denominational. You know, they say, oh, well, our denomination will produce this. You know, the Baptists say, well, if it's going to be a message, it's going to come through the Baptist church or the Presbyterian church or the Assembly church or this church or that church. See, and that's what they did in that day. They, when He came, they didn't recognize Him. But there's going to be a people that recognize His appearing. See, God is known in simplicity. And by the revelation of Jesus Christ, look, He's made known to the most illiterate person. Let me just give you a little insight on Brother Craig. Many of you may think, man, he is a scholar, right? Come on, give me a show of hands, people. I put my hand up. You hear Brother Craig preach, I mean, he will blow your socks off if you've got any on. I sit there and listen to him, and then you hear him talk about when he was in school. He was an idiot. And I don't mean that jokingly. He couldn't. The guy made F's and D's. He was not a smart cookie at all. He didn't think his life was going to amount to anything. But see, God doesn't need your intellect. God needs that heart. And when you surrender that heart, and when He surrendered that life to God, and you see He pours into the Word, study hours upon hours every day, and it just riddles out of His mouth. See, it shows that God is sovereign. He doesn't need some great education. He'll take the most illiterate person in this church today and He can turn the world upside down with it. He can send them over to Japan and be exactly what they have need of. He'll be able to take the Word and begin to talk about creation and showing how God created this and how He created this and begin to open the eyes of the people there. And yet we think, oh, well, if God's going to use me, I got to go get a college education. That may not be for you. See, it's not your theology, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ through the new birth. Don't try to do it without the new birth, church. See, He's born in there. He injects His whole life. And your life is going. The life of Christ is projecting itself through you with their preeminence to the people. That they see the very life, the very works, signs and wonders that He did is doing the same thing through you. The very same. How many of you would like to do what the prophet of God did? Well, about half. Well, not even half of you. What the rest of you want to do? Lord, we're going to have to get back to square one. I'm going to have a meeting with Brother Tim and Brother Timothy. You would love. Come on. Don't raise your hand if you don't want to, but you would love, you brothers, you would love to have that place. Man, to go lay hands on the sick, bam, instantaneous, miraculously healed and delivered. Cripples, maybe able to walk. Those on the cots, raising up right off the cots right there, walking through the church, moving and shaking. I mean, man, you would love that. And yet we put it all back there 50 years ago, or even 2,000 years ago, and He's the same God today. Why do you think our little sister here has her hair back? Because He's the same God. Same power. Same authority. Same Word. Same victory. Same anointing. He's the same today, church. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for those that say, yes, Lord. Oh, He's still here. And he's here to inject his life into you so that you can do the very same thing he did. See, the Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the divine promise of God. He's the only revealer of the divine revelation of Christ. There's no school can do it, no scholar can do it, no man, no matter how well educated, how godly, or anything else. There is no man that can do it. And he will only do it, listen, to the predestinated. Well, I must not be predestinated. If you can hear this message this morning, and it's going deeper than just surface level, it shows that you are predestinated. It shows that there's something on the inside that your human intellect may not be able to understand, but yet the heart is receiving it and responding to it. The thing about here in John 4 and verse 9, we all are familiar. Can I go a little bit longer? I guess I can. I mean, it's only 12:30. I got another hour and a half. Just kidding. Them jokes, people. Think about the woman at the well. You may have been in that situation in your life. The Bible says, now I just love this story. It says, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest me of a drink? Why are you asking me? Why are you bothering me? You're a Jew, I'm a Gentile, or a Samaritan. You're asking me for a drink? Jesus answered, said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Notice in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Look, she was so sick and tired of living the way she was living. Sir, give me this water, that I thirst no more, and that I don't have to come back to this God-forsaken well at the time of day that I got to come. She couldn't come with all the other ladies. She had to come, and when she came, everybody knew that it was that time, and those ill-famed would come at that point in time to draw water. She knew she was longing for a change in her life, and that may be you this morning. Maybe you're just finally sick and tired of living the way you've been living. You say, sir, give me this drink. I don't want to thirst again. I don't want to go back to the same bar or the same joint or the same life that I've been living. Lord, I want to be changed. I want to be different today than I was yesterday. Yeah. Jesus said unto her, listen, he says, okay, you want to be changed? You want something different? Go get your husband. Go get your husband. Y'all come here, then I'm going to talk to you, husband and wife. The woman answered, said, well, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband. And that saith, is that true? And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. No, she didn't sit there and have a debate after that. She didn't go pull up the message search and try to figure it all out. Or go get the scrolls from the priest and try to understand where it was coming from, how he got here, and know he's supposed to be an illegitimate birth. Isn't he the son of Joseph and Mary? No, she didn't worry about that. The Bible says in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went on her way into the city, and saith unto the men, come and see. Come and see the one that told me all the things that I ever done. Is it not this the Christ? Look, God revealed himself to her through the manifestation of the word. And that's the same way he reveals himself to us in this day. It's through the manifestation of the word. You know, the priest would call him Beelzebub, a fortune teller, a devil. And yet this little ill-famed woman, when the light struck that seed, thou art Christ. Thou art the Messiah. She saw him for who he was. She could see past the veil of his humanity, and she knew that's the very Messiah. The priest said he's Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, but to her, he was the prince of life. Her life had now been changed. She don't have to go back to that well any longer. She doesn't have to have a thirst for the things of the world like she did before. But now, this Messiah has revealed himself to her. And when you see the signs of the Messiah, that's the interpretation of the word for your hour. See, did you notice Brother Bram says, quickly her sins were forgiven. Because at the beginning, she was redeemable. Because she was in God's thinking at the beginning. So it redeemed her or brought her back when she seen the express scriptures manifested of Jehovah. That he was what he is. And I want you to know today that if you feel the slightest tug in your heart, that proves to you that you are redeemable. You don't have to continue in the sins that you've been in. You don't have to continue that same lifestyle. But you feel the slightest tug, God is showing to you that you are part of him. That he wants to redeem you back. But you got to respond to the call. You got to open up your heart and say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I'm tired of living this way. Give me that living water that I thirst no longer. You don't have to remain the same. God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants you to have a relationship with him. But you only see him when you recognize the sign of the Messiah. When you recognize, there'll be no more question. When you recognize you come from God and you're going back to God, there ain't a devil in hell stand before you. When you recognize, not Brother Tim, Brother Timothy, myself, the deacons, your mom and daddy, but when you recognize that you're from God, and that you're redeemable. And there's a pull in your heart for greatness. There ain't a devil. Listen to me. There ain't a devil in hell can keep you out of the house of God. There ain't a devil in hell can defeat you. There ain't a devil in hell can take you to a premature grave. There ain't a devil in hell can touch a hair on your head. Unless God gives him permission. But you got to recognize, church. You got to see him in the form that he's in. See? She can recognize it because the scripture said. When the Messiah comes, he's going to do these things. Right. Then what are we on the fence about? Well, Brother Joe, my best friend left. They forsook in the message. But blessed are your eyes. Yes. Blessed are your ears. Yes. There's something inside of you won't let you go. There's something, there's an anchor, there's a part of you that's redeemable. And God, let me tell you, God said, I'm not going to let you go. You're part of me. You was always part of me. And because you're part of me, I'm going to send you a word that's going to change your heart. And you're going to see the reality of a living God in this hour. I'm going to experience and show myself to you in the way you've never seen me before. You're going to see the supernatural. You're going to see the miraculous. There is no reason why we got to come to church all down in the Mully Grove. We're going to see the supernatural take place. We're going to see miracles take place. We're going to see the dead raised if God called us to raise the dead. We're going to see the sick healed. We're going to see cancer defeated. We're going to see hair grow back. We're going to see lungs come back. We're going to see the impossible. Why? Because it ain't your word. It ain't my word. It's God's word. God gave the word. God declared the word. And God's obligated to the word. Why do you fear, church? Why do you fret? God made the promise. Put it back on God. I'm telling you, he's big enough to handle it. He's ready to take your burdens. He's ready to take your trials. He's ready to take your situation. He's ready, church. But you got to commit. There'll be no more question when you make that commitment. You young people, some of you responded last night. Said, I really want a Holy Ghost experience. You can have it when you commit. Some of you responded, I'm just going through the motions. You can have greater than motions. You can have the absolute. You can have that token life on display. Some of you are dealing with prideful heart. God can take that pride and break it and make you a sweet, loving son and daughter of God. See, when Christ came, he didn't come with Noah's message. He didn't come saying, oh, we're going to build an ark and get out of here. No. He didn't come with Moses' message. We're going to part the Red Sea. We're going to walk on over. No. He came with the message of his day. And here we are in this hour with another message. Preparing for another exodus. Notice, those that didn't recognize Moses as a messenger, they were slain in a gang saying that Dathan and Korah. They were swallowed up. But those that was willing and ready to cross over, they walk through dry ground. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready for a change? Ready for a real experience? But Brother Joe, I've had an experience. Well, let's have another one. Look, don't be satisfied with just one experience. Let's have another one. See, Jesus was the promise of the Scripture vindicated to that woman. He was the interpretation. His own life interpreted the Scripture. He says, and don't you see the message of the hour? Can you recognize where we are? The message itself from the Scriptures interprets to you the hour that we're living in. And some of us, we're just going through the motions. We're on the brink of possibly having that vision number six being fulfilled. A woman president. On the verge. I'm not saying it is. But what if? Is that what it's going to take to get you to recognize that you need to get your heart right with God? Quit playing church. Quit playing games. Get real sincere. You shouldn't have to take these things, church. I understand modern events are made clear by prophecy. Lives are changed by the Word. Lives are changed by this right here. Don't wait on your deathbed. Young person, you're waiting, struggling, trying to figure it all out. Wait, well, let me see if this prophecy comes to pass, and I'll believe that Brother Branham was a real vindicated prophet. Look, there's enough signs and wonders taking place already that vindicates him. You don't need a woman president to vindicate it. She's not given for you, no way. She's given to fulfill the part number seven, where there's going to be earth bombs or smoke bombs and craters all over the face of the United States. But to the bride, there's a word been given. There's a word been given. Brother Branham says, the bride has recognized the evening light. See, the devil, listen what he says now. He says, the hungry Pentecostals had begun to recognize that them organizations hadn't got anything that they're looking for. They're so twisted and tore up. See, it's time of recognition. You've got to recognize. The world has recognized. The nations has recognized. Science has recognized. Listen to what he says here. The devil has recognized it's the time that he can wreck women, wreck the church, wreck the people. He's recognizing. Look, we've never seen a day like this day. More lewd women all over the place. The devil's recognized what he could do to wreck this world by wrecking the home, wrecking the women, pulling her out of her place of responsibility and putting her out there on the street with no clothes on or anything else. Drive more souls to hell than a bootleg joint. And yet the prophet of God says, and God has recognized that there's a people on earth that he's predestinated to life. Oh, the devil knows he's got a world in his hands, in his clutches, and he's recognized that he can ruin their life. But God has recognized he's got a people that's predestinated to greatness. He's got a people that's predestinated to receive everlasting life. Amen. Or eternal life. He's recognized this is the time to send his message, and he did it. The people has recognized it. The bride time has realized the evening light. See, the national force put Israel in her homeland. After many years of being dispersed, be Jews here, Jews here, Jews here. About 60 years ago, they all came back. Right. National forces put Israel right in her homeland as a sign to the bride. Amen. It's going home time. Amen. It may be morning, night, or noon. Amen. I don't care. I'm waiting. I love his appearing. Because I can see him in his appearing. I know when he comes, I'm going. See, national forces put Israel in her homeland. National forces put the church in the World Council of Churches. But the power of God will put the people in the bride. Amen. Quit playing church. And let the power of God put you in this body. He said, the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, my Word is Spirit and life, will put the bride in her place. Because she'll recognize her position in the Word, and then she's in Christ, will put her in her place. He said national forces will do it, but no national force will do it, but the national force did drive Israel to her homeland, and the national forces forced the World Council of Churches and drive every organization into it, but the power of God will raise the bride into glory. I say the power of God will raise this bride into glory. Then why are we waiting for some supernatural event when he's here today? He's in our service today. He's here to move today to put you in the bride, to place you in the body. But you've got to die out to yourself. And say, Lord, give me eyes to see who you are. we find now, if we go on just a little bit longer. So the Holy Ghost is the only one that can reveal these truths to you. You may be here and you've been in this message for quite a long time, and yet there's no Holy Ghost on the inside. You have nothing more than a mental knowledge. A mental knowledge. You may wake up one day and everybody that you associated with is gone, but you're left behind because of mental knowledge, intellectual experience. Well, I believe God sent a prophet. The signs of the Messiah should vindicate to you where you are in your experience. It's more than just seeing Him as a prophet. You got to see Him today. You can't put it back 50 years ago. You got to put Him right here today. A living God. Living in your life. Overcoming in your life. Getting victory in your life. Not one man ministry, but the multi-body. And the Holy Ghost will reveal that to you. You know, John did not recognize Him until the Holy Ghost revealed Him to him. This is Him. John said he saw the Spirit of God come down like a dove and descend on him. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He would have never recognized who He was unless the Holy Spirit would not told him. And that's what it takes for us. Why can you see and so many can't? Why can you experience the greatness of God and the goodness of God and see the power of God and experience the presence of God? Because the Holy Ghost is here, service after service, revealing Himself to a people. He says, now the only way it can ever be is you're predestinated to see it. See, if you don't, you'll never see it. But if you're not predestinated, you'll never see it. You'll never see it. That light can flash and you'll go away and make fun of it and explain it away by some intellectual conception. But the Holy Ghost will reveal it to you. And that ain't saying that you start wondering and questioning, because Satan will come right now and say, "Well, I told you you didn't have the Holy Ghost. I told you you didn't have it." See, he just told you right there, you're not predestinated. No, I didn't tell you that. I'm telling you, He's here. That slightest tug that you want to do right, you want to live right, you want to get out of the life that you've been living, declares to you that you are redeemable. Amen. That you are predestinated. That God has called you for something better. Don't listen to that part of the quote. Listen to the part that says you're redeemable. But that helps you understand why those that have left this message and ridiculed it and mocked it and talked bad about it, because they wasn't predestinated. See, God never says, "Well, I'll choose this one and I won't choose that one, or I'll choose this one and I won't choose that one." God doesn't work that way. Now, maybe you and I work that way. We look at each other. You look at Brother Andrew like, "Well, he's a basketball player. I'm going to choose him on my team." You look at Brother Matthew and say, "Well, he's short. I'm going to pick him last for my team." And you look at me, you're like, "He ain't worth a flip. We ain't going to pick him at all on my team." You know, that's how we pick, right? We look on the outward countenance of a man and say, "Well, I'll choose him." And I mean, we see it in the Scriptures. In the day of Joseph, David, when David was being chosen king, went through all his brothers before they picked little, really, ruddy David. But we find here, see, God doesn't choose based on that. God chooses based on your origin. So your origin determines your destiny. So God saves you based on where you were in the beginning. And if you ever was with God, you'll be there. You'll be redeemed. You'll receive the Word. You'll see God in all His greatness. Amen. See, God never saw you to begin with as a sinner. He has always seen you as a son and daughter of God. He never sees your mistakes. But He sends you a word to bring conviction about those mistakes. He sends you ministry so you can get your life lined up with the Word. Amen. See, there was others standing there that day. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." They never seen the dove. They never heard the voice. But John saw it. John heard it. And there's the people today in this church that's going to hear and see who He is. Amen. They'll hear God speaking so expressly through this service that they're going to make a change by the time it's over. Brother Bam says, the Holy Ghost alone shows you. We're bringing this down. I'm going to go just a few more minutes, if that's okay. See, the Holy Ghost alone shows you who He is. No prophets or kings, but God alone. The Holy Ghost alone shows you who He is. You know, God had a threefold purpose in His coming. How many of you have ever listened to Christ's Mystery of God Revealed? How many of you study that message? I like how Brother Tim said it. That message there, if you go back and listen to it, it's the seventh mystery being revealed. Amen. And when you can catch the significance of Christ's mystery revealed, then you see God coming. You see Him coming in this day, His appearing in this day. What we find here, Brother Bam talks about in Christ's mystery, God revealed, he says there's a threefold purpose of God. And the first thing it was that God wanted to reveal Himself to the people. He couldn't do that as God, great Jehovah, that expanded all time and eternity. No, He had to come, and He came and He expressed Himself in Jesus Christ that He can show to the world that He was God. Then He says the second full purpose of His coming was to have preeminence in a body of believers. That's His bride, that He might live in a people. And look, it was more than just God coming in William Branham. It was more than God coming in Paul and Wesley and Luther and Arrhenius and all these different ones. No, God was coming because God had a part in His mind that He wanted to have a preeminence in a people, a bride body of believers. And His third purpose was to take that fallen Eve back to a Garden of Eden experience. God had a threefold purpose for His coming. And we find that He can express Himself in the fullness of His Godhead, His deity through His church, and had a preeminence in His church. See, it was the anointed man, now the anointed people, oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom. Anointed by what? Accepting what Eve turned down. Adam coming back with the anointing of the Word because He said, my Word is Spirit. See, the anointed with the Word, what Eve turned down, He comes back and we accept. Amen. And He's here again and we've accepted. Amen. He says now, even this last day is not going to do. She's predestinated not to do it, not to fall. Yes, sir, God's going to do it. He knows He'll have it. He said He'll have a church without a spot, without a wrinkle. She's going to stand there in the splendor of Him. His Word may manifest. His Word being made manifest in your life. But only those that are predestinated to understand it will ever hear it, ever see it, ever experience it, ever embrace it. Because the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. See, God's great mystery, the eternal God had a mystery, how He's been unfolded in Jesus, then given right down to His church. What was once in God's mind is now in the body of Christ. How many of you are part of that body? So what was once in God's mind is now being performed in your body, in your life. What was once in God's mind is now in the body of Christ. Jesus making love to His church, His bride, whispering secrets to her. That's what God, Christ, is doing to the church. He's letting her know His secrets, just the secrets. Not these flirters, I mean His wife. All right, now look, says now, by having the revelation of the secret made known to them by His grace. And you wonder, why little old me can understand what I understand? Because your origin determines your destiny. There's going to be somebody that's going to receive this word. See, we're going back home, church, to Eden. Christ has come in this hour to snatch our hearts, turn our hearts back, so that He can take this fallen wife, redeemed back home again. That's Christ in you, church, today, taking His wife back. First, manifested in Christ. Second, manifested in the church. Third, to take fallen Eve back to an Eden position, to restore the kingdom that had fallen. Aren't you ready for that kingdom reign? He said, denomination won't ever touch that. It's a revelation. She knows it. So did Eve know it, but she fell. But this one knows it and won't fall. She's ordained. Hallelujah. She is ordained not to fall. She won't fail. She is predestinated to it. Did y'all hear what I just said? Did y'all hear what your prophet just said? Well, brother, what if I make a mistake? What if I fall? He says, you're predestinated not to fall. Amen. There's no way you can fall, church. If there's something on the inside that has struck that heart of yours, a light come across your heart and struck it, and you know that you come from God. Look, all the devils in hell can rage. All the winds and the rains and the rains can come down. It ain't going to affect you one hour because God said you're predestinated to be there. You can't fall. You won't miss the word. You're going to see God in the form in which He's come. He says, yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you're going to see me. Because I'm going to reveal myself personally to you. You're going to see me. Jesus said, at that day, the prophet of God said, that's this day. At that day, this day, somebody's going to see Him. Somebody's going to experience Him. And I ask you, what are we afraid of? Why do you run and hide from the devil? You got to sniffle. We got to run to the ER. Why are we afraid of the same Jesus that's called you? The same Jesus that sends you? He goes with you. And He's in you. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. What are we afraid of? See, the Jesus that goes in us, that sends us, goes with us. A little while the world won't see me, but you'll see me. See, because I'm going to be with you and in you. It ain't you doing signs and wonders. It's God doing them. Let's bring this down to a close. See, the mystery is only revealed to His beloved bride. That's the only one that can see it. All the mystery is revealed only, listen, as He has promised to His bride. Hell is against the truth of the revelation of this mystery, but the bride is standing on it. That's her stand. This mystery. What is that mystery you're talking about, Brother Joe? That Christ is here in bride form. The same thing that He did, He's doing right here. Same signs, same wonders, same words, same power, same authority is right here in your life. Amen. Same God. The people of God are being made ready by the word of truth from the messenger to this age. In her will be the fullness of Pentecost, of the Spirit will bring the people right back to where they were at the beginning. He said, that's done, saith the Lord. He's the head and we're the body. The Word produces its own life, that e-swap for a personal knowledge. See how the church has today through some man's understanding. Moses had a great understanding of God till he met the burning bush. Then he saw his failure. See, the burning bush had what Moses lacked. And maybe today you can see the power of God and recognize what you lack. He said the life in the body is a vindication that the rapture is at hand. His life in His body is a vindication that the rapture is at hand. Amen. Throw down your worldly bag of peanuts. His life in this body is a vindication that the rapture, the coming of the Lord, is at hand. Because He's appeared right among us. Oh, church, we have the answer. I said we have the answer to the devil's question. The headship has come and become one with His bride. We have the devil's question, or the answer to the devil's question. It ain't you that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in you. It's not you that overcometh, but it's God in you that overcomes. It's not in you that heals the sick, but it's God in you that raises the dead, heals the sick, saves the lost. It's God orchestrating, working through our bride body. That's the devil's question. There's the answer to his question this morning. The first ministry and the last ministry are the same. The Alpha has become the Omega. We're one again with Christ, church. Why do you fear, church? Why do you afraid? It's the Father trying to reveal to you these mysteries that He's hidden from all the ages, but finally made known to a bride people. Everything that God had ever done, right here being displayed, being manifested. We have the devil's answer. He's questioning your experience. He's questioning who you were. He's questioning your origin. You can tell him today, I'm a son and daughter of God. I've heard from my bridegroom. I've heard from my theophany. He says, we have. We have the devil's answer. Not me that liveth, but Christ, the Word, living in me. It's not my idea. It's His power. Not my idea. It's His Word. He promised it. And here it is. He said it would be here. And here it is. We got His answer. God, listen, in this redeemed flesh, God, in this redeemed flesh, God, in this redeemed flesh, my redeemed flesh could manifest His Word for this day. And as He did in that day, He said, "Woo, glory! God doing the same thing that He did there. He's doing it now in my body and your body and your life." I'm here to tell you, church, that's God on the scene. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here. Won't you see who God is? Oh, don't you worry about what the devil's saying. We got the answer to his question this morning. Respond to the Word. Say, I heard from my theophany. I heard from my Redeemer. I heard from my God. I know my origin. I know I come from God. I'm going back to God. He says, we have Satan's answer. God has vindicated Himself. He proves Himself to His promise in this day. Hallelujah. The headship is here. Christ, the risen Lord, He is here in the same power of His resurrection that He ever was, manifesting Himself. There's the devil's answer. He said, that's the reason. There was a man sitting here the other day, dropped dead the other day, sitting here. And we could say, come back to life. And because the Holy Spirit said so. He said, that's the way little boy there in Mexico had been dead for about 15 hours when the vision had come. They called back his life and death to life. And he said, little boy, little baby boy, live. And the baby that the doctors wrote a statement died about 9 o'clock that morning and 11 o'clock that night. Come back to life. He's living today, church. That's the reason today we have a little girl who's been in our church. She's already had 2 heart transplants, but we prayed and God responded. And she's here with us this morning. That's the reason, church, we can curse cancer. And a man whose cancer is stricken his body is sitting back there in a wheelchair, cancer free. That's God this morning. That's the reason we have a little baby boy named Drew. He ain't never walked one day. He just jumps up and begins to walk. Because why? Because God said so. Because we prayed. He's the same God. He's alive today. That's the reason Sister Karen with a brain bleed lost all her vision. Couldn't hardly see. But we prayed in a prayer line one night. What did God do? God responded. God healed the sick. Gave her back her vision. And you ain't heard nothing about menopause since. Because God don't patch up. God heals. God delivers. And God sets free. That's the way, church. We had a prayer line not too long ago, sometime last year. And a little sister came up praying for her lost brother, wayward brother. And within 20 minutes, come staggering in the church door and gave his heart to God. I'm telling you, church, God is here. He's a living God, and He's here today to break whatever chain, to break whatever thing that holds you back. He's that God today. And somebody is going to see Him. Somebody's going to experience that God. That's why our little Mariah here, little sister Mariah, lost all her hair. But she held on, and we prayed. And a living God responded. And you see the hair growing back. That's a manifestation to you and to every unbeliever that we serve a living God. He ain't dead. He ain't in no buried tomb. No, sir. He's alive and well in your life, in my life, in your life. He's the same God today. The headship and the body has become one. And now we speak what He tells us to speak. And the prophet of God said, the word of God on your lips is just as deity speaking. Just as deity speaking. I say, why not speak this morning? Amen. Musicians, come. You got a need this morning? Why not speak your need? He's here. You need healing in your body? He's here. He's here to show you that He's still Jehovah Rapha. He's got your need handled. You got a problem in your life? You need deliverance? Some bad habit you can't kick? I'm here to tell you, God is still here. He's still a deliverer. He's still here to set people free. Won't you come to God this morning and let the words flow off your lips and say, I need deliverance. I need healing. I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I need God to come down. I'm here to tell you, church, God is here.
I feel the anointing of God right now. I'm here today. God is here. Won't you respond to God? Won't you let your faith loose this morning and let God move on the scene? Say, I want to see God. Well, now's your opportunity. Oh, I've heard about them. I've heard about them. I've seen them respond in other people's lives. I've watched God in the prayer line. But what about you now? What about your own walk? You done got cold on God? This is your morning. You here this morning, you a sinner, don't know God? This is your morning. He's here. He's here this morning, church. Oh, the devil's howling. He's doing everything he can to shut this little bride down. Let me tell you, he ain't going to shut her up. He ain't going to close her up. God's going to take her up. Oh, aren't you that one of them I'm talking to this morning? Well, you've seen the word for your day, and God had come down and let you know who you are. And I'm going to tell you, ain't no devil, glory, can't no devil stand between you and your God. You need God. You got a need this morning. There ain't a devil can stand in your way when you recognize who you are. Oh, if I had a need this morning, church, I'd come to this altar. If you've got a need this morning, I'm telling you, God is here. God is here. Will there be another? Come on. God is here. Play some song. Just glory in. God is here, church. You want the Holy Ghost? God is here. You need a real experience with God? He's here. You got a need in your life? I'm telling you, that God that I serve, He's here this morning. He's here to reveal Himself. He's here to show you His power. He's here to transform your life. He's here to express Himself to you. He's here to show you His greatness. He's here to show you that you're destined for greatness. My God is here to meet your need. My God is here. Break every chain. He's here to break every chain. He's here to heal every sick. Brother Jerry, you stand up and you claim your promise. God's giving it to you. I believe that God that we serve is a healer. I believe He's a healer right now. You claim it. Don't let nothing take it away from you. Come on, church. You believe there's power? You believe it's more than we just preach? You believe there's power in this word? You believe there's anointing in this word? I'm going to tell you, He's able to change a life. He's able to get a hold of an old drunk like me and transform my life. He can do it for you this morning. You got a problem with pornography? He's here to break that chain off your life. You got a problem cussing and lying and temper and anger and anxiety and fear and depression? My God's able this morning to break every chain. But you got to respond. You got to move. You got to trust God. You're tired of living that old life? I'm here to tell you, there's a God here to give you a new beginning. I'm telling you, there's a God here this morning, church. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity. Maybe you've been in the way a long time and you feel like you need to come to the altar. Maybe you're mom and dad. Don't worry about what your neighbor may think of you. God bless you, sister. Maybe you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Don't just stay in your seat, church. This is your time. There's a presence here. A power of God is here. And He's ready for somebody to say, yes, Lord, let me step out and get in the way, Lord. Let me feel Your presence, God. Let me feel that anointing one more time, God. Get out of your seat, church. Oh, let's do more than raise our hands. Let's respond to God. Say, God, let me get in Your spirit. Let me get in Your way, God, that You can change me. You can mold me. You can shape me. You can transform my life, God. Oh, don't let me stay here, God. Don't let me be so cold and indifferent this morning, Lord. But let me respond to the Word. God, let me respond to the Word. Let me respond to the Word. God, give me a heart to respond. There's going to be an army rising up. Come on. Come on. Come on, army. Come on, army. He's calling out dry bones. Come on, dry bones. Can these bones live, son of man? Thou knowest, God. Speak. I'm speaking a word to you this morning. Yes, those dry bones. Yes, those dead hearts. Yes, those sick in body. Yes, those that are being troubled on every side. Yes, they can live this morning. Somebody stand up and accept the promise. Somebody accept the promise this morning. Somebody claim the promise this morning. You've got a need this morning. Claim the promise. He's here, church. He's here in power. He's here in demonstration. He's here in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's here to set the captive free. There's a bride here this morning that's rising up. You believe it? Lift your voices to Him this morning. Come on, Brother Mike.
There's power.
Come on, pray like you know there's power. Cry out to God like you know there's power. This is your time. This is your service. This is your anointing. God responded to you. You want to know if you come from God? You want to know what the will of God is for you in your life? Here He is. He's here to let you know I called you. You were with me in the beginning. Everything I've had in my mind, every secret, every promise, every word I ever had is all about you this morning. Everything I ever done, church. I come to show you. You're not of this weak style. Break every chain. Come on, young person.
Break every chain. Break every chain.
Come on, brother. This is your time. God knows your heart. We got the oldest one in church.
There's an army.
Jesus Christ. I'm a part of that called out anointing and thank you, Brian, that you've talked to me this morning. I'm her, Lord. Everything you said this morning, Lord, I agree to it. Yes and amen. Break every chain, Lord. Break every chain, Lord.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
We speak life to do it this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, won't you come back to the way God originally created you to operate? Say you take your hands off of God's Son this morning. We serve you the fiction of it right here. We don't want to live another minute with you. In Jesus' name, we accept it.
I need you, Lord.
Supernatural.
Amen. Don't you believe that? Amen. How many have seen the supernatural? Amen. Amen. He's just doing mighty things all around us. This is a text message I got this week. He said, "Hi, everyone. Our son Wesley has not been able to distinguish between the color red and green for a while. Color blindness runs in my mom's side of the family. And red-green color blindness is a very common form of this disorder. Today is Wesley's fourth birthday, and he's accurately describing red and green colors. They prayed for him. Amen. And his color blindness left." Amen. God is doing supernatural around the world. Amen. 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 We see him moving everywhere, not just here, but in his bride body around the world. And it's just a great thing to see what we're praying for, everything we're believing for. Amen. If you haven't seen it yet, don't give up. Amen. As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand, the bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown. Oh, just like in the days of old, oh, they stood encouraged for, and they turned this whole world upside down. Oh, rising up, oh, rising up.
Christ is rising up. Oh, we're rising up. We've seen the bride of Christ adorning herself in her wedding gown. Amen. Is that you this morning? Amen. Key of G. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive.